Today, I am very thankful to have the opportunity to preach the gospel and to fellowship with the congregation here. I must say, one of the most frustrating things that a preacher can experience is to lose his voice. I heard Brother Dan Winkler compare it to a frog being in the middle of a busy intersection and his hopper going on the blink. And I can certainly appreciate that. And I have been fighting with allergies. I thought I was going to be okay this morning, and about halfway through Bible class, my voice just went. And it's frustrating and embarrassing. I've got some throat spray. We'll see how far I can get today. I love this congregation. I love this eldership. I love your faithfulness to the truth. I've got good friends here. I hate that Alan couldn't be here. I would have loved to have seen him, my good friend. Brother Luke and his family, good to see them, and appreciate each member here who helps to do the work that this congregation engages in. My family plays a game sometimes when we are on the road making trips where we will make a list of words, and then we will take those words and we will go around, and each one of us will take a turn trying to name a song that has that particular word in it. And as we played that game a while back, on the list was the word dance. And I was amazed as we went around in a circle how many songs there are that have the word dance in them. It seemed like it was never going to end. Michael Bublé sings the song "Save the Last Dance for Me." Whitney Houston used to sing "I Want to Dance with Somebody." Garth Brooks said he's glad he didn't miss the dance. And we could go on and on with that. On television these days, dancing is the latest primetime rage. Fox has the program called So You Think You Can Dance. ABC has Dancing with the Stars, which is boasting an audience of more than 22 million viewers on Monday nights. Now, the point that I'm making is that dancing is something that is extremely popular. And it's something that young people have to deal with. You know, there are school dances, and our young people have to ask the question, should I go? And there's the prom, and they have to ask the question, should I go to the prom? And it's an issue that for them to say, no, I'm not going to go to the prom, or no, I'm not going to go to the dance, is going to make them stand out. Might make them seem like a goody-goody, or out of touch, or kind of old-fashioned, and will certainly bring them ridicule from their peers. And so it's an issue that we need to talk about. We need to see, what does the Bible say about this? What does God say about the subject of dancing? And you know, this is a question that really comes down to a person's attitude toward the Bible. And so each of us needs to ask ourselves, am I the type of person who seeks to avoid questionable decisions in my life? Or am I the type of person who tries to get away with as much as I possibly can and sacrifice as little as possible for the Lord? And you've got two extremes in those attitudes. I want to talk this morning about the subject of dancing. What does the Bible say about dancing? I want to begin by defining our terms. Dictionary.com defines dancing this way: to move rhythmically, usually to music, using prescribed or improvised steps and gestures. The word dance, including dances, dancing, and danced, is used 27 times in the Bible. In the Old Testament, there are 6 Old Testament Hebrew words translated as dance. In the New Testament, there are 2 Greek words translated as dance. And when you go through the Bible and you look at these 27 occurrences, you will find that these words are all used in 2 different senses. The first word, the first way in which it is used, simply means to jump up and down for joy. This is the kind of thing you might do when your team scores a touchdown. You know, the Alabama fans were dancing with joy last night in this sense. It's a celebratory type of thing. When the Ark of the Covenant was finally returned to Jerusalem, the Bible says that David danced in 2 Samuel 14 through 16. In Exodus chapter 15, the Bible says that Miriam led the women in dance and song, praising God after he had brought them through the Red Sea safely. Now, when the word dance is used in this sense, it is a synonym for happiness. It is a synonym for celebration. And most of the references to the word dance in the Bible fall into this category. Now, the second sense in which the word dance is used in the Bible is men and women interacting together like they would at a party or a dance club or the prom or something like this. It's the sense in which we most commonly use the word dance today. In Exodus chapter 32, while Moses was up on the mountain receiving the Ten Commandments, the children of Israel, you remember, had made a golden idol. They'd made a calf, and they were engaging in immorality, and the Bible says that they danced around it. And you remember that Moses strongly condemned their behavior. As a matter of fact, every time you read in the Bible where there were men and women dancing together in the Old Testament and the New Testament, it is always condemned. Now, that's the type of dancing that we're talking about in this lesson, the type of dancing that might take place at a nightclub or a high school dance. What does the Bible say about this type of dancing? Now, somebody might respond and say, well, nothing. There's no passage in the Bible that says thou shalt not dance. And that's true. There's not a verse like that anywhere in the Bible. But there are certainly passages that do address dancing, and there are principles that address dancing. And so what I want to do this morning is to consider four principles from the Bible why this type of dancing is wrong. Here's the first one, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19. Galatians 5 and verse 19. The Bible begins there by listing what we call the works of the flesh. Now let's read it. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Now I want you to notice the word lasciviousness is what the King James says. We don't use the word lasciviousness very much anymore. You know, probably if you go on a date, your mother doesn't say, drive carefully, honey, and don't be lascivious. That's just not the way we talk anymore. The New King James, instead of lascivious, uses the word lewdness. Other versions use the word sensuality. One version even says, instead of lascivious, it says lustful pleasure. Lustful pleasure is a work of the flesh. Now, the Greek word here, according to Thayer's Greek Lexicon, means this. Here's the definition: wanton manners as filthy words, indecent bodily movements, unchaste handling of males and females. Now, I want you to think about this definition: indecent bodily movements and unchaste handling of males and females. Now, I want you to try to envision something that would violate this, that would meet that definition. What involves indecent bodily movements and unchaste handling of males and females? Brethren, it's dancing. If dancing doesn't fit this description, then I don't know what does. You know, typically you've got a dark room, you've got low-cut dresses, you've got males and females holding each other closely, and they're rubbing their bodies together, and there's suggestive music playing. And I hope you don't watch this show, but if you've ever seen Dancing with the Stars, or if you've even seen a commercial for Dancing with the Stars, it is this word: indecent bodily movements, unchaste handling of males and females. Now, this particular word is found 9 times in the New Testament. It is translated 6 times as lasciviousness, twice as wantonness, and once as filthy. In our modern language, we would probably define it this way. Lasciviousness would be conduct which excites lust. And Paul says in verse 21, they who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, to put it very bluntly, what he's saying is the people who engage in lasciviousness, those who engage in the unchaste handling of males and females and sexually provocative bodily movements, he says they're not going to go to heaven. Now, I tell you what else fits this definition, and people get upset when I say this, but I tell you what fits this definition, and it's really a type of dancing, is cheerleading. Now, it is not inherently sinful to cheer for a team. There's nothing wrong with that. Cheerleading is not inherently sinful. But most of the time in our modern world, cheerleading involves young girls or young ladies in very short skirts or scantily clad outfits, and they are engaging in a routine that involves provocative movements, sometimes of a sexual nature. These days, you even have boys handling the girls, and they're sitting in their hands, and they're holding their bodies. And again, there's nothing wrong with team spirit. But when this type of thing is going on, it fits the definition of what the Lord said will keep a person out of heaven. Now, somebody says, you're just being crazy. That's crazy. It's not like that. But you know, there's a reason why cheerleaders wear those skimpy little outfits even in the dead of winter. And I'm telling you, it's not because of team spirit. Now, here's a second principle, a second point that I want you to consider with me. In addition to Galatians 5:19, I want you to consider Matthew 5 and verse 28. Matthew 5:28. Jesus said, "But I say to you that whosoever looks at a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart." Now, Jesus said that to lust for a woman who is not your wife is sinful. And dancing creates lust. It is sexual in nature. I want to read you a quote. This is from a book, but I think the quote is exactly on target. It says, "No healthy man will deny that it is sexually arousing to watch a girl swing her hips and breast suggestively to music." And that's right. It says, a man will admit watching a woman dance is sexually provocative. You know, in the Bible, you read in Mark chapter 6 about the story of Herod and Herodias. I want to read you part of the text here. Mark 6:21 says this, "Then an opportune day came when Herod on his birthday gave a feast to his nobles and his high officers and the chief men of Galilee. And when Herodias' daughter herself came in and danced, it pleased Herod and those who sat with him. And the king said to the girl, 'Ask me whatever you want and I will give it to thee.'" Now, I want you to notice that the text says that she danced before them. That is, she engaged in suggestive bodily movements while they watched. Now, what was Herod's reaction? The text says that it pleased him. The Greek word here is aresko. It carries with it the idea of exciting his emotions. Brethren, what we're being told is that he was sexually stimulated by watching this. Now, what was the result? The result was that Herod made a foolish vow. He did something that he regretted. You know, somebody said that this type of dancing, this type of arousal causes a man to do things that he might not otherwise do. Now, think about this, because if Herod had danced with her, instead of just watching, if he had danced with her, would that have made it better? If he had handled her like they do in modern day dance, would that have made it less evil? Of course not. In fact, it would have been worse. Paul Southern wrote that dancing is like building a fire under a tea kettle and then daring the water to boil. And that's a good comparison. Dancing arouses passions and it arouses lust. Now somebody might say, I don't buy into that. I don't buy into all this stuff about dancing being sexual. It's just fun. There's nothing sexual to it. You know, if it's just fun, then why don't we have a father and son dance? How about that? You know, I've heard of father and son ball games, and I've heard of father and son campouts. I have never heard of a father and son. Would y'all like to do that? Dads and sons, would you like to just have a big dance where just the dads and sons dance together? And if there's nothing sexual about it, how about this? When there are school dances, how about we separate the boys in the cafeteria and let the boys all dance together, and the girls in the gym and let them dance together? We know that'd be the end of the party. It's not going to work like that. We understand that the boys are not going to dance together. Why? Because they know that there is a sexual aspect to this. You know, the world even understands the sexual nature of dancing. Mick Jagger, the lead singer for the Rolling Stones, said this, "All dancing is a replacement for sex." Dr. Rita Hollingsworth said, "Dancing is an exciting and pleasurable recreation as it affords a partial satisfaction to the sex impulse. Dancing is, in fact, such an erotic stimuli that it even works for boys and girls as young as age 11. In one study, there were 44 boys who were asked the question, "What do you feel? What do you think about when you are dancing with a young lady?" 41 out of the 44 boys, that is 93% of these boys, said they thought about sex. An audience of 1,500 men were asked the question, "How many of you can dance with a woman and not have any sexual or evil thoughts?" No hands were raised. In another study, 80% of the men admitted to having lustful thoughts while dancing. Now, what's the point that we're making? The point that we're making is the world knows that dancing arouses us sexually. Young men admit this. Men admit this. The Bible even testifies to this. And Matthew chapter 5 and verse 28 says that when we have these sexually stimulating feelings and thoughts toward an individual who is not our spouse, that we are doing something that is inherently sinful. Here's the third consideration. And that is, dancing is a prelude to other things. Now, what do we mean by that? You know, when you have a male and a female together, and they handle each other, and they move to music, and they shake their bodies in front of each other, and they hold each other tightly, and they press their bodies up against one another, it builds sexual emotions. It builds sexual tension, and it's begging for trouble. It is flirting with temptation. You know, the Bible says, the proverb writer says about the immoral woman in Proverbs chapter 5, he says, "Remove your way far from her. Do not go near to the door of her house." The idea is stay away from things like that. Don't flirt with temptation. Don't see how close you can get to it. Stay away. Don't even go close to the door. You know, 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, "Flee fornication." Not entice yourself with it. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11 says, "Abstain from fleshly lust which war against your soul." Orphanages say that 9 months after school proms that they have extra babies to care for. Now, why is that? Because dancing is a prelude to other things. The Roman Catholic Confessional says that 19 out of 20 of their girls who go wrong attribute it to dancing. It started with dancing. Now, some people will say, particularly with reference to school dances, they'll say, "How can it be wrong when it is so tightly supervised? Nothing is going to go wrong. They're watching very carefully." Now, first of all, that's not true. I know of situations where things have taken place even at school dances. Secondly, chaperones can only control what goes on outwardly. They can't control thoughts. They can't control what kind of lust is building inside these young boys. And they can't control what takes place after the dance and on the way home. You know, somebody made the statement, "You can turn a guy on, and he can be awfully hard to turn back off." Reader's Digest said, they had a survey in 1999 that said 75% of young women and 65% of young men who had not yet had sexual relations planned to be intimate on prom night. And have you seen the prom dresses? Brethren, I'm not trying to be crude here, but some of the prom dresses look like prostitutes. In fact, I want to read you this. This is from a prom ad. This is from cybergown.com, and this is a direct quote from their website. "The sexy necklines look good, but try not to wear a necklace for a more astonishing sexy look. This time, the prom dresses have become more and more enduring and seductive." Now, in 4 lines, they use the word sexy twice and the word seductive. Is that what you want for your teenage daughter? Is that what a Christian girl wants, is to be sexy and seductive? Promgirls.net also provides material for proms and dresses. And it gives workouts that young girls can do prior to the prom to get into shape. It says, "Performing these prom workouts and exercises can assure a phenomenal body just in time for the event of the season. With a little effort, you will undoubtedly turn some heads with your terrific toned look." You put all of this together, what do you have? A terrific toned look, a phenomenal body, sexy necklines, a sexy look, and you can be seductive. Now, that's what the companies that sell the dresses are promoting the prom as being. Let me make one more comment about this, about the chaperone issue. Don't you think the fact that it needs to be so tightly chaperoned in the first place tells us something? Why do they feel like we need to really chaperone this event? Because they know something about this event. Here's a fourth thing to consider. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Be not deceived, evil companions corrupt good morals." I want you to use your imagination for a minute, and I want you to imagine that you're walking into a dance club. And I want you to just walk in the door and look around. What kind of people do you see there? What does the atmosphere look like? What's going on out on the floor? What type of music is playing? What are people doing? How are they dressed? Think about the atmosphere. Think about the companions that engage in this sort of thing. People go there to be in that atmosphere because it's enticing and it's titillating. And think about the companions of dance itself. What things do you usually find that go along with dancing? Well, one would be alcohol. Almost always, alcohol goes with dancing. Now, someone might say, well, not at the school. That might be the exception because it's forbidden. But normally, alcohol goes with dancing. Secondly, very revealing, sexually provocative clothing almost always goes with dancing. Thirdly, music. Can't have music, but you can't have dancing without music, right? And oftentimes it is suggestive, crude, crass music. Now, I put this lesson together, I guess last year, 2010, and the 2010 prom had not come around yet. So I did a search for the top prom songs for 2009. I want to share some of these with you. The number one prom dance song for 2009 was a song called Just Dance by Lady Gaga. The song says, read you some of the lyrics. "Show me I can see that you've got so much in the gene. The way you twirling up them hips round and round, there's no reason I know why you can't leave here with me. In the meantime, let me watch you break it down." Now, what's she saying? She's saying, you look good in your jeans. I'm watching you twirl your hips, and I'm thinking that we're going to leave here together tonight. That was the top dance song for the prom in 2009. The number three dance song was a song called I Kissed a Girl. It's about two females kissing each other. The number seven dance song was a song called Sexy Back by Justin Timberlake. It says, "Dirty baby, uh-huh. You see the shackles? Baby, I'm your slave, uh-huh. I'll let you whip me if I misbehave, uh-huh. It's just that no one makes me feel this way, uh-huh." Brethren, those are the top dance songs for the prom, for kids. Now, I'm not saying that it's okay for adults, but this is what is common and typical for kids. It's what accompanies dance. Now, let me change gears for just a minute here as we wrap up the lesson. Somebody says, well, what about dancing for exercise? You know, sometimes people have said, I don't dance the way you're describing it. I just do it for exercise. None of the things you're discussing there. Is that all right? If a person wants to dance alone in the privacy of his own home for exercise, I guess that's fine. But as soon as these other people get involved and you get into the atmosphere that we've been discussing here, that's when you start to have problems. That's when you start to violate the biblical principles. Number two, somebody says, what about dancing if it's just between a husband and a wife in the privacy of their home? I've actually been asked this question numerous times over the years, and I think it's because we spend so much time talking about dancing being wrong, people start to think, well, would it be wrong if I danced with my wife in my home? Dancing is not inherently wrong. It's the sexual things, it's the immodesty, oftentimes the environment, it's those things that make it wrong. But if a man and a woman who are married want to dance together in the privacy of their own home, more power to them. Nothing wrong with that. Might even be good for the relationship. Probably wouldn't help my wife to see me dance, but it might be good for some people's relationship. Now, somebody says, what about things like the hokey pokey? Believe it or not, I have heard some Christians who have objected to the hokey pokey. And they will say, well, that's dancing. You know, dancing is wrong. That's something we shouldn't do. You know, I have never seen the hokey pokey performed in a way that fits the description of the things that we're discussing this morning. And we've got to use good judgment about this. You know, there is nothing wrong with kids doing something like that. Now, I know as soon as I say that, somebody's going to put out a dirty version of the hokey pokey, but I have never seen it done in an inappropriate way. You know, there's a story told about a young girl, and she was going to take a tour of a coal mine. And she showed up for the tour, and she was dressed in a spotless white dress. And her friends kind of got on her about it, and they said, that's ridiculous. You can't go tour a coal mine in the white dress, and, you know, you're going to get dirty. And she said, no, I won't. I'll be okay. I'm not going to touch anything dirty. And so when the coal miner showed up to give the tour, she asked him, is there anything preventing me from wearing this white dress into the coal mine? And he responded, no, there's nothing preventing you from wearing that white dress into the coal mine. But he said, there are a whole lot of things that will prevent you from wearing that white dress out of the coal mine. You know, James chapter 1 and verse 27 says that pure and undefiled religion involves keeping ourselves unspotted from the world. And that's awfully hard to do if we surround ourselves with filth. You know, dancing is lasciviousness. It is sexual in nature, and it promotes lust. It's a prelude to other things. It involves wicked companions. And it's impossible for a Christian to keep himself unspotted from the world while participating in the modern day dance. Sherry Burgess wrote a tract entitled, Shall I Go to the Prom? She said, one night was hard, but God held my hand. He gave me courage to take the stand. It doesn't hurt me anymore. I'm stronger than I was before. One night was hard. I made a stand. And now what's left is the promised land. Brethren, as children of God, our goal is to keep ourselves unspotted from this world, to be examples, to be lights to the world around us. And it's impossible for me to do that when I'm engaging in things like the modern day dance. I appreciate your good attention this morning. It may be that there is someone here who has the need of obeying the gospel today. If you are here and you're not a child of God, you're not a member of the church for which Jesus died, you need to know that in order to become a child of God, you need to hear the gospel, believe it, repent of your sins, confess your faith in Christ, and be baptized in water for the remission of sins. Now, maybe you're here and you say, I've never heard that before. You need to show me book, chapter, and verse for those things. We would be delighted to set up a study with you and go over these things and show you the Bible verses for every one of these points. Maybe you're here and you say, I've studied, I've prepared myself, I know what I need to do. I want to come forward this morning and make the good confession, and I want to be baptized for the remission of my sins. We would be delighted to help you do that today. Maybe you're here as a member of the Lord's church and you have sin in your life. Maybe you have sinned in a public way, and maybe you want to come forward today and confess that public sin, and you desire that your brethren would go to God in prayer on your behalf. We would be delighted to do that. This morning, if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come as together we stand and sing the invitation song.